Hello, everybody, and thanks for being here on the Misfit Toy Society Training Course broadcast. I hope you're doing well, and listen, if you're not, you're in the right place. You ever felt relieved like that? Like, hey, man, I just need a little help. I need a little help. I need something. Just help me out here. And it's very relieving. It gives you relieving. That sounds so scientific. It just gives you some relief and peace of mind when you get a little help, and something makes you feel like everything's going to turn out okay. And, you know, listen, there's good hope and there's not so good hope. Technically, the way the Blood Covenant talks about it is that there's a hope that shows you a negative outcome. And it's used more than just, I hope so. It's like you're seeing down the road, whether it's near future, you know, middle distant future, long-term future, but you're seeing an outcome. And if that outcome brings you despair, brings you a sense of panic, brings you a sense of what good is it all, it makes you feel like you want to, like, why even bother? That is a negative hope. That is a sense of, like I said, a sense of despair. What we desire to have and are looking for, not just from a technical, studious training purpose, that's part of it, but what we really want is some sort of assurance that everything's going to be all right. We want to have some sort of, how about this, some sort of excitement and uplifted, like something to lift your spirits to let you know that, hey, it ain't always going to be like this and everything is going to be all right. Well, hey, I don't care how many, you know, positive memes you read on social media or, you know, self-help, power, believe in yourself. That's good. I mean, we need some motivation. We need some encouragement. But you're going to have to get it from a source. You're not going to be able to give it to yourself. You understand what I'm saying? We are not created beings who are omnipotent. We need help. You know, our master, our best friend and elder brother, Jesus himself said, no man can serve two masters. He's going to either hate the one or hold to the other. That's in Matthew chapter 6. But what he's implying is man's going to have a master. But our privilege is that we get to choose which one it is. We get to either choose one that's forced on us, which he called mammon, which in their culture and dialect, mammon was a god of slavery to acquisition. He was using something that they understood, which we've lost, you know, somewhat the meaning, especially, you know, us westernized folk. But he was definitely talking about something that represents darkness of having to, you know, get what you want by fighting, pushing. Because then he talked for about 8 or 9 verses on, you know, pushing, shoving, stress and strain to, you know, to get. And he said, have you checked out the sparrows and the flowers? They're well taken care of by my Father, which is in heaven. So he's saying that there's going to be two sources, and he didn't give anything else other than those two sources. But he also talked about someone who'd take care of us. And not just going to take care of us from an invalid, you know, child sense, but take care of us in a friend sense too. Listen, we've just got to come. I remember hearing this down in the great state of Texas. We've just got to get down to the lick log. I'm still actually kind of trying to figure out what that means. But according to my translations, it sounds like it means we just need to get honest about it and admit that we need help and admit that we can't do this on our own. I heard one of my dearest and closest friends, he's godfather to my youngest son, and he said to me one time, we were talking about the Blood Covenant, and God had given me one of the greatest privileges of my life was being able to pray with him as he received Jesus as his best friend and savior and boss. And he said to me, you know, sometime after that, we were talking about it. And he said, you know, even the hardest of men will break. What's important is who you choose when you're broken, what you decide when you're broken. but thinking that if you're hard enough, you won't break. He's like, that's just vanity, because even the hardest men break. And that was powerful, man. Like, I never forgot it. He only said it one time, but I never forgot it. Well, hey, what if we what if we now choose the right person for help from us before we get before we get to the broken point? You know, like, hey, I can see where this is going. How about we get help now? Like, how about we get help before things are, you know, dire situations? You know, I remember the story of Paul. We talked about it recently in a podcast. But I remember the story of Paul. He had something in his heart. He was getting signals from his best friend, the boss, you know, the, Jesus, his Lord, was letting him know, let's not take this ship journey. He said, men, he said, I perceive this journey is fraught with danger. Well, they ignored him. Like, what's a preacher know about sailing? Well, flash forward to, you know, however many, you know, half dozen days later, six, seven, eight, they were caught in the middle of a hurricane, and it said that all hope that they should be saved was lost. And an angel appeared to him and gave him, how about this, gave him a picture of a different outcome. I mean, gave him a picture. The angel told him what would happen. He said, Paul, don't worry about it. You have to stand before Caesar. It's the plan of God. And all that you sail with you, the Lord's given them to you. Like, he's, you're not going to lose a single person on this ship. Well, he was also include the people who had him in custody. But such is the generosity of our best friend that he, even the people that are with you who would, he cares about the lowliest sparrow and doesn't want anybody lost if as much as he can do something about it by access through us giving him room to maneuver. You understand what I'm saying by that? He said, Paul, don't worry about it. Everybody that's with you is going to be all right. You're going to lose the ship. Everything's going to be okay. Well, what did that do? Well, remember the statement I just said briefly. It said that all hope that they should be saved was lost. Well, then let's zero in on that. What's talking about hope? He's saying that all expectation of a positive outcome, like, hey, we can still get through this, that was all gone. They were just hanging on for dear life as long as they could. That means that any expectation to survive was gone. So they only had what? The gnawing and terrible reality that this was it. Well, the angel says that, it delivers his message. Well, remember, it's not just an angel saying it. He's delivering words from God above. consider it a personally delivered email from God, our best friend, right? Well, Paul was encouraged. And what I mean by encouraged, that's kind of, again, that's kind of an old English word. Paul was, he was built up on the inside. He was, whew, that gave him a renewed, I'm looking for a way to say it in just our everyday English. Hey, that made him feel better. He could see something different. He knew it. Hey, this isn't going to be the way we go out. I'm feeling better about this already. Yeah, I'm still seasick and, you know, in my body, but on the inside, hey, it's going to be all right. We're going to get through this. And I like the fact that before he shared the message from the angel to his companions and people with him, he paused to rub, kind of give him a, I told you so. He said, men, you should have listened to me, you know, while the boat is absolutely having the brakes beat off of them. They've dumped over everything over the side that they could, you know, to stay afloat. And I just like that. Like, hey, fellas, you should have listened to me. But what was giving him a sense of renewed expectation? How about this? He was looking forward to a different outcome. Now, notice this, than what circumstances were squeezing and pressuring him to accept. Well, it was something that God said to him about the problem at hand. It didn't come through his his resume. It didn't come through. If you ever want to read about it, it's in the third chapter of the book of Philippians. Paul goes into depth about all the things, you know, natural and secular that he could have leaned on in order to have clout. And if anybody could have been a clout chaser or a clout flexer, it could have been him. And he said, I find that all of these are useless to me, and I refuse to rely on them for anything. It's pretty powerful. Well, something that God said to him. And you could say, well, it came through an angel. It doesn't matter. Peter talks about this, the Apostle Peter, and he hits upon it that the word that's printed, our written copy of the covenant, is more sure. It means it's more reliable and more trustworthy than the word of an angel. Well, why did God use the angel then? I don't know. maybe it was just to get his attention over the storm, you know, because of how loud his natural surroundings were. It may have been difficult for him to hear his own heart and hear the inner signals of the Holy Spirit in his heart. Sometimes our surroundings can be so antagonistic towards hearing from God. But hey, we let God handle that. Whatever he did, it was God decided that's what he needed at the time. We let God handle the how. So when you're in the middle of looking like all hope is lost, what good is it all? Why even bother? I'm the only one going through this. I don't know if you remember this, but the story of the prophet, I believe it was Elijah. He had a setback where he was so, he'd been canceled by the king's wife. And the king's wife was so furious with him. She said, be it done unto me if by this such and such time, I think she said it was just a couple days, if your head's not removed from your shoulders. Hey, that could send a chill down your spine, especially from someone who's not just talking, but they mean it. Well, he takes a hike. He goes on a sudden sabbatical, and he gets away and goes into a cave, and he's having a moment. He's having a what good is it all? And you know, listen, he had some miraculous things happen. There came like a wind of fire, and there came an earthquake, and there came, one other very elaborate, very extraordinary, outside, external thing. And the Bible says that God wasn't in any of them. And it says that finally he heard within him, he said he heard a still small voice. It said he wrapped his head in his cloak like, ooh, that's God speaking. And listen, let's just be, we try to be very plain and simple and down to earth as much as we can every time we open our mouths to talk, you know, whether it's in person or whether it's here by recording or on the podcast. But let's be very plain about this. God is something amazing. He is something absolutely amazing. He is more amazing than anything else that exists. And if he just parted the curtains a little bit for us to see him as he is, all of us would absolutely put our faces in the ground. Yes, out of respect and fear, but also just out of an overwhelming sense of his awesomeness. But I also want you to keep in mind when we say all that, that that is our very best friend. Things don't rattle him. In fact, the worse the situation on earth, the more, as though it looks like it's going to cause him to be defeated or proven wrong, the more he just laughs at it. He is absolutely unflappable. And I also want you to hear this. His ability to fix things and to cause things to turn out, not just okay, but far beyond just okay, is amazing. It is legendary. It is earth-shattering. I like what the Apostle John said about this being our God, our best friend, and our very own Father. He said this about God's Spirit that he's caused to live within you and I. He called him the greater one. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. When he said he that's in the world, he didn't just mean human beings. That's part of it. Or, you know, antagonistic human beings. He was also talking about all the forces and negative forces of darkness and Satan himself arranged against anything good and arranged against us and our faith in God. He said he's greater. Well, what's measure that greater? Greater than what? As great as he needs to be. And I don't care what gets arranged against us, God's greater. He's bigger. He's stronger. He's faster. And he, our problem, and we're not making light of anyone's problem, not mine, not yours, not anyone's. They're real. They exist. They are right in front of us. Or we are right in the middle of it. But God doesn't even break a sweat about it. And he is your absolutely loyal best friend. And he's the one saying to you and I right now, hey, I'm going to come through for you. I will not let you down. Let me handle this. And this is, you know, listen, we're under pressure. Have you ever done something stupid or asked something stupid under pressure that later on you were like, I can't believe I even thought that. Why did I even do that? Because of pressure, man. We've all been there. You know, hey, listen, some of us may even be there right now. It's okay. In fact, as I was getting ready, I had a really strong sense that God was wanting to let you know that you're not the only person going through what you're going through. That's not to make it less or to cheapen it. But one of our enemy's tactics is this: to make you feel isolated, cut off, and that no one understands and that no one cares. Hey, listen, no one owes us a care. They don't. No one owes us compassion. No one owes us, well, no one understands what I'm going through. No one, there's nothing legally binding that says anyone has to. But I want you to know this. God does understand it. It says about Jesus that when he was on the earth, when he was pressured by temptation, and he was pressured more than any of us put together and more than we could ever possibly imagine. Both at his temptation in the wilderness before he began his ministry and his temptation in the garden at the end of his life and ministry and on the cross and in the very pit of hell itself. He was squeezed. He was crushed. He was pressured more than we could possibly imagine. And it says about him in the book of Hebrews in chapter 3 and chapter 4. It talks about, and also in chapter 2 as well, it talks about him saying that he is very able and quick and easily touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That's the King James way to say it. What does that mean? He very much understands what we're going through and is extremely compassionate to when we're squeezed. This is not some automaton robot person. This is someone who has his arm. It doesn't matter if anyone else ever supports you. If anyone else ever tells you, hey, I know what you're going through. He does. Your best friend. Your best friend knows. And he's enough. Hey, listen, if he's the only one that ever knows what you're going through, and he's the only one that tells you, hey, I know what you're feeling. I know what you're going through. Let me help you. That's enough. Listen, part of his setup for us as blood covenant best friends is that we are completely independent of other people. No one owes us a thing, and we don't need anyone else. Now, there, sure, it, we are blessed and benefited by other people's fellowship and by love of others around us. That's good, and that's important, and he knows that. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean that if no one ever comes to our help, if we have him, we have more than enough. Do you understand what I'm saying? If no one else ever even knew what you were going through but him, that's plenty. He's literally all that you'd ever need. And that's very, very comforting. You know why? Because he, it's also him who said, I will never walk off and leave you. I'll never separate from you. I'll never cut you off or reject you out of anger or disappointment. He's saying to you, I will not fail you, best friend. I'm sticking with you. Hey, that's extremely reassuring, especially not just for whatever unpleasant circumstances you may be encountering in your life right now, but also the place that the earth is in right now. I don't need to paint a picture or waste the time on it. Not the best that it's ever been, by far. But if you've got him, and let's just say this, and you know because you've decided that you believed it. Listen, some people could be saying right now, I wish I could believe that. I mean, that's nice. I mean, that sure sounds good. But hey, let's get out of that no man's land. Stop making excuses about it and try to explain it away. Just decide you accept it and believe it. Say, boss, you're my boss. You are my best friend and my Lord and my boss. And I'm taking whatever you're given, and I decide I believe you. And I'm all in all the time with you. Listen, he's already committed to you. You go ahead and decide you're committed to him. As far as he's concerned, you're already his best friend. You go ahead and just decide that he's yours and accept his friendship. What if I've already done that? Do it again. Remind yourself. Double down on it and just say, I'm in. Hey, listen, this is very reassuring to know that you've got one solid friend sticking with you through thick or thin, no matter what, and that he's capable of getting you out of whatever gets thrown at you. Let's go back to Paul on the boat. Let's not just leave him there. Listen, he was very reassured. Hey, we're going to Rome, boys. There may be some stops along the way, but we're not dying in the middle of this ocean. Ain't no sharks getting us. Ain't none of us drowning. We're going to lose the boat, but who cares about the boat? I'm better than some boat. I'm better than some piece of wood with and some tar and pitch gluing it together. I'm getting to where we're going to make it to the other side, fellas. Because God told me that. In fact, his exact words, he said, I believe it shall be even as it was told me. But look at the commitment that Paul makes. This is all in the book of Acts, chapter 27. You can check up on me and make sure I'm telling you what's so. Paul also says this. He said, the angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve appeared unto me this night, saying, notice how he talks about God. He said, the God of whose I am, I belong to him and I'm an asset to him. I belong to him and I'm all in all the time to do whatever he tells me to do. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it. Listen, not only does God want you reassured that he's with you, he wants you reassured to the point you're excited about him. What if you feel right now? Well, I'm not really that excited about him. No, that's just your feelings. And they're really not relevant right now. Part of a blood covenant's purpose, and especially our blood covenant with God, our best friend, is for this reason. That we don't have to live by our feelings. You wake up one morning and you feel happy, and 10 minutes later you feel down. Your feelings are not your GPS. They're just data. They're not the truth. Hey, listen, if they're in line with the blood covenant and you're excited and you've got good feelings, thank God for them. Enjoy them. But if you don't, change them. Remind yourself the truth about what the blood covenant has said. I had to encounter this. This was a big hurdle for me to day by day, you know, to get, you know, I'd take time and be excited and find myself, you know, really relieved about something that I saw in the Bible, and I get excited about it. And then, and I kind of ride that wave for, you know, rest of the evening into the next day. And the next day, man, it felt like I felt like 40 miles of bad road. You know what I mean? One of my elders in the faith says it like this. He said, I felt lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut. Listen, buddy, that's low. you can't get lower than that. I felt chewed up and spit out. You know what I'm saying? And what had changed? Nothing, just feelings. That means that there are negative forces in the earth trying to force a reality on you, and trying to force a reality on you through what you feel and the way things look. You know, the way our minds comprehend them at the time. Well, God's let you know, if those things don't match up with his covenant in blood with you, absolutely put them aside and put them behind you. I'm not going by that information. I'm going to go with his covenant and with him. You understand what I'm saying? And that will help you be very reassured. Hey, I don't care what it looks like. He's for me and not against me. That's very reassuring. That's very comforting. That's a good way to say it. It's very, very comforting. And we're supposed to enjoy his comfort and his reminders of the way things really are as much as we'd like and as much as it is needed. What's a good one to remember right now? He'll never leave you nor forsake you. How about with all the random violence and things going on? How about this one? That according to his covenant of safety in Psalm 91, his promises of safety, he said that no evil shall befall you. Neither shall any negative thieving plague come near your dwelling place. But what's your primary dwelling place? It isn't your house. It's your body. You live in this body on the earth. Right on, man. And God said that. That is his extended hand of friendship saying to you and I swear it. And this is, you know, hey, listen, I get it. People get confused. Like, well, if that's true, and it is, because he said so in blood. If it's not, he ceases to exist. So it's the truth. It's reality. It is the reality. Well, people say, well, if that's so, then what happened over here? Listen, forget about over there and that person and this loved one or this person that you knew that had something horrible happen, or even maybe what you had happen in the past. Let's give God access here and now. Remember, yes, he's omniscient. Yes, he's sovereign. And he is the sovereign God. And yes, he's all powerful. And yes, he's all knowing. And yes, he's omnipresent and he's everywhere. But he's not rude and he's not a tyrant. He has to be allowed into situations in life. He goes where he's welcomed. He does not kick doors open and say, pow, and he kicks that door open, I'm here and I'm God. He doesn't do that. He doesn't take people's choices away from them. Now, listen, because he is such a good person, I say person, but he is the person of God. Because he is such a wonderful person, he's going to help as much as he can. Maybe in certain situations, he was allowed to divinely intervene more than others. But you and I have authority in our life. Let's go ahead and decide, say, sir, if there's anybody going to have free access to my life, it's you. And I'm letting you handle this. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. But first of all, just be comforted in knowing that he's sticking with you. And he's not going to leave you nor forsake you. No matter what you're rolling through right now. Hey, listen, Psalms 23 verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know what a shadow of death is? He said the valley of how things look. Not just the valley of death. He said the shadow of death, the looming specter of death. He said the way this valley throws its shadows, it looks like certain death. But he said this. He said, I will, meaning I've made up my mind and decided that I will not fear any evil. That means the choice to believe what we see and feel, which is technically what fear is. We believe what we've seen, and we believe what we've felt. Because it's saying negative, negative, negative. I mean, it's just broadcasting danger, death. He said, I won't believe it. He said, because you are with me. And your shepherd weapons comfort me. That wasn't by accident. He didn't accidentally arrive at a place of not being afraid. He decided. He said, my best friend's with me. So I'm not going to be afraid. And notice, he had every reason to. All the pressure was there. All the feelings were there. That sense of being sick to your stomach and the hair on the back of your neck standing up and the beads of sweat on the forehead and the sinking feelings. And I mean, all the anxiety was there. The stress was there. But he made a decision in spite of it. He said, you, my best friend and my shepherd, are with me. So I refuse. I will not fear. Because you're with me. And if he's with you, you can know this. I'm coming out of this thing, man. He said, I'm walking through it. I'm coming out the other side. I'm not going into the valley of the shadow of death and building a house there. He's speaking in a way that of their dialect, of the Hebrew dialect. And he said, I'm walking through this valley. There is a start and there's an end, but I'm coming out the other side, and I'm coming out the other side intact with him because he's sticking with me. Hey, take that for yourself. I say, just say, dude, this is how I do it, how the Lord showed me to do it. You can look up different justification for this technique from the 11th chapter of the book of Mark and the 10th chapter of the book of Romans and verse 17. I take this as God speaking it to me personally, and I decide that I believe that I receive it. I decide to take it. The word receive is a long word for just taking something, embracing it. I'm coming out the other side of this because he's with me. He's with me. Just say it with me. He's with me. He is with me. That's reassuring. That's helpful. Hey, I can kind of begin to feel some things kind of lift off of me. Yeah, what happened? My perspective changed. I'm seeing a different outcome right now. And you know what? I'm excited about it. That's the God kind of hope. How about, let's say it like this. That's the hope that comes from God. Well, how does he get it to us? How does he show us an outcome of something different? First of all, through his covenant. Through the words that he's already, let's say it like this, gone on record about. And how did Jesus say that he would, the means by which he would remind us and guide us towards those words again? By his Spirit that dwells in us. Jesus called the Holy Spirit within us. If you've accepted God's hand of friendship and decided that he is your Lord, and decide that he's your best friend and you've accepted his friendship, his Spirit lives in you right now. Boy, that's good news. But Jesus called him a comforter. And one of the ways that that's actually translated in the Aramaic and the Greek and things like that, it really just means this, a friend like me. He said another comforter. It means a friend, a helper, a friend. I'm going to send you a friend just like me. And one of his main missions is to help bring to our heart and minds what he's already gone on record about in the blood covenant. Because that is the primo number one thing you and I would need to begin to see a different outcome and to have some comfort and relief no matter the situation. Hey, this looks bad. And it feels bad. But I remember God saying this. And he's not just saying it on the paper in the pages of my book or in the app on my mobile device. He's saying it to me. And he's saying, I will never leave thee, using this as an example. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So it may feel like I'm all alone, but I'm not. He's with me. So it's going to, another part of us seeing a different outcome and beginning to be, how about this? Just beginning to be excited about something positive in our life is going to come from something that he says to us. It's going to come from something that he says to us through the book, and something that through the book, the helper, the friend, the Holy Spirit reminds us. Let's keep it very simple. And this is, you know, another hurdle for many people. You can see how much pressure is tried to systematically cause our covenant friendship with God to be broken down and disassembled and rendered ineffective. People say, well, you know, I've always had trouble hearing his voice. Yeah, maybe you have. I did. That was like my number one, one of my number one, if not the number one challenge to get over. When I first started to live like this and be all in with God and live the life of living by faith. But I remember what he said. And I say, I remembered. I kept getting reminded about what he said. And the 10th chapter of John, you can look this up. 10th chapter of John, verses 1 through 4. Jesus in red says that my sheep hear my voice. Talking about the shepherd. The sheep hear the shepherd's voice and know his voice. And then later on, he says, in plain, down into the 20s, you know, the 21, 22, 23 verses, he says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Well, are you his sheep or are you not? He said, if you've decided that you believed upon him, and what would that look like for you and I? If you've decided that you accept his hand of friendship, and that you've made him your boss. And not only has you believe that he's made you his best friend, you decide that you have made him yours. Then he is giving you legal justification to decide that you place full confidence in his blood covenant reality that you hear his voice. It doesn't matter if you don't. It doesn't matter how many times you've been frustrated about it. Thank you, sir. I hear your voice. I hear your voice. And listen, be excited about it. I don't feel very excited about it. Decide that you are. I'm excited about you, sir. I'm excited that I hear your voice. You said so. That means however you've rewired me, I hear your voice. I hear your voice. Well, when we're in the middle of it, and I say it, what do you mean in the middle of it? All up in the middle of it, marital problems, ex-marital problem, like you're going through divorce problems, problems at work. I was just talking to a couple different friends about this. I don't know anybody who's really honest, especially among my circle of friends, especially the circle of friends who are male, who haven't had a moment or moments in their life where I'm not saying that we would act on it, but they could definitely understand the decision to take one's own life. I'm not saying that you've been there or have to be super, you know, suicidal to understand it, but you could at least see it from where you are. You're like, because you can get to the point where you're just taking it from every side. And listen, that's part of the devil's tactic, is to squeeze you to the point where he's painting only one outcome for you. Why don't you just go ahead and end it? How cowardly is that of him, though? How about this? How about you go ahead and end it, you disgusting thing? Like, I thought about it one time, and I heard another man of God do this, and I wasn't trying to, you know, just copy it. But he's like, why don't you just go ahead? And then I was like, you know what? Shut up. Why don't you go ahead? I didn't hear anything from, you know, nothing popped up. No negative thoughts came for a little bit. Like, yeah, why don't you go ahead and do it? I'm thinking of Pauly Shore's Cruster. That's a son-in-law reference. You may have to go back and remember that. Hey, Cruster. You're right up in the middle of it. You go, you know, financial trouble, job trouble. You know, it's not even just getting pushed from every side. And you could just use some relief. I want you to know this. God wants you to know this. He's got something good to remind you and to say to you. Well, I want you just to think about it like this for the sake of our talk. I want you to embrace this mentality, this mindset of, let's just treat him like a best friend. You don't need to have a perfect prayer or change how you talk. You don't need to self-edit into something more serious and holy. God hears how you talk 24/7. And hey, don't let that alarm you. Especially some of you are more salty than others. That's all right. He knows how you talk. Just be plain with him. And say, sir, I'm treating you like a best friend because you are my best friend. So I'm going to sit here and be quiet. Help me, please. This thing right here in front of me. Imagine in your heart, in the meeting place, you know, you and him sitting down to having a chat with one another. You just laid it on the coffee table for him, sir. I don't know what to do with this, but you do. So just be straight with him. Ask him like you'd ask me, or ask him like you'd ask your very closest and best friend, especially if you had a best friend who was an expert in the field that you need help most with. If your best friend was a world renowned, published, multi-decade leader in the area of thoracic surgery, cardiothoracic surgery, and you went in and just sat down with him, you wouldn't try to dominate all his time and tell him about, well, I believe this, and I've been taught this, and I thought this, and WebMD says this. Can I tell you how many times as a minister I've had people call for help, but want to tell me all their opinions and problems and things that they believed, and this has got to be the way it's done? That's what's got you into the problem in the first place. What good is any of that doing for you right now? Answer, not a bit, or else you would have the help that you want. So let's make a decision to defer out of a sense of, and humble ourselves to the expert in the room. Answer, hint, that's not you or me. That's not treating him like a best friend. That's treating him like he is your subordinate. Let me just tell you how you're going to do it. No. That's how to leave empty-handed. Nah, y'all, let's go ahead and decide. Let him say, hey, listen, boss, you are the boss, and I am not. Here's the problem. You know what it is. Help me with this, please. And I know you've heard me because you're my best friend. Listen, you want some backup for this? That's Little John, 1 John, 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. Says, if we ask anything according to his will, according to his covenant, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have it. Well, how do I know it's his will? Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given you. So just asking him, hey, listen, ding, 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 it's according to his will. He is excited to help and weigh in and be a best friend to you. Listen, the being who is most excited to be a best friend to you and I, you've just asked him to be a best friend to you? You don't need to help motivate him or push him along or beg him to do something. He's thrilled to do it. He's excited to do it. I remember reading a scripture in the book of Nehemiah, and it says that you, O Lord, are ready to pardon. Ready. Think about that word ready. You are poised to take action. He is ready and excited to be a best friend to you and I. Not just like, oh, I'm excited that this is going to happen. Like, listen, he's like, I'm thrilled. Yo, hey, listen, I'm here. Real talk right now. Let me handle this for you, bub. This is it? That's all you want? Too easy. I remember asking a dear departed friend of mine who's over on the other side one time. I said, hey, I have a favor to ask. He said, name it. I asked him. He said, brother, that's so simple, it's funny. That's so easy, it's funny. You need to hear God's voice saying that to you right now. Sir, help me with this, please. Help me hear your voice. Jesus already said that I hear your voice. So I'm deciding that I believe you. But whatever issues that may be going, it's not your fault. You're perfect. You're the best friend I could ever have. So whatever has, you know, tried to frustrate me, it's on my end in some way. Help me with this, please. And guess what? He just heard you and he's excited to be a best friend to you. And then you know what? He is in motion. He is ready. And he launches into action to be a best friend to you. Listen, he wants you excited about your future. And he wants you happy in the present. Write this scripture down. Psalms 90, verse 14. It may sound familiar, especially if you've gone through the four block course of being happy and training to be happy. Psalm 90, verse 14 says, satisfy us early or first thing with your mercy. Talking to the Lord, talking about him. This is a prayer. And he goes, that we may rejoice and be glad all the days of our life. So he says that by giving us mercy, there's something in that mercy. There's something in that. Mercy is another word for covenant love. And this is where English begins to fail in most language. It is the bond and affection between blood covenant brothers, best friends. It's your best friend just asks you to help him. And it's something that's so easy. You were already excited to do it. He said, listen, would you help me put this thing together? And you love putting those things together. You're thrilled to hear that he want your help. You're like, of course, I'm glad to do it. And there is a inner sense of, I'm stopping whatever I'm doing right now, and I'm running over to his house to help him. Hey, gotta go, and you pack up your tool. And not just that you're, my friend called me, I gotta go. You're excited to go. That inner motivation is mercy. That inner sense of I'm completely committed to this person. I'm excited to go help him. I get to be a friend to him. That is blood covenant love. That is, and God has abounding, inexhaustible blood covenant love for you and I. Right? Well, he says in the best friend chapter, Psalms 23, verse 6, that goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. Wait. So his generosity and his covenant love, he has set it up that he is looking for ways to get it into our life and cause it to stick with us every day of our life. That's what he said. That's what he said in black and white. And then in the 27th chapter, that we can believe to see his goodness. Help me, Duke. Piece those together. What does that all that do for me? You and I can right now go ahead and decide that we believe, that we take and embrace. Meaning we decide, we accept from him his goodness and his mercy. And make the decision. Remember, happiness and contentment is a decision. That's Hebrews 13:5. It says, be content. Meaning we decide this. If feelings are there, the decision lies with you and me. We can decide. I decide to be happy. Sir, I decide I'm happy for the reason that you've made me happy. I'm satisfied from within. If you want more on that, again, go back to the training block it's a four-section block on being happy. And our training courses on the MisfitToySociety.com. Well, back to what we were saying. Treat him like a best friend. Just ask him for help. Sir, help me with this, please. Fix this for me. And then do like you would do with that trusted friend who was the surgeon. Sit back and be quiet. Shut your mouth and listen. We're not listening out in the room. God's within us. So we're looking down in our inner self where the Holy Spirit lives. And we're waiting. And I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to have some kooky thoughts try to help because your brain's trying to figure it out. You don't need your brain right now. So just wait through those. Just wait. And the right one will come up. The right one will it'll have a flavor of peace and calm. And it'll keep coming back. I'm going to use a technique from the great comedic character Ace Ventura. If it doesn't happen in 5 minutes, just wait longer. Hey, give your best friend some time. It's not that he has a hard time speaking, is that he is getting that broadcast signal, his word, his message, however he's getting it over to you. He's getting it through all the weather and the mess in our minds, in our emotions, and in our feelings, and getting it over to us. Remember, he is a patient and understanding best friend. You hear me? Now, let me say this. I mentioned it earlier. In the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, verse 17, it says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And we, you know, in some circles, we can just rattle that off and be so kind of flippant about it. Think about what he says. Confidence in him, in God, our best friend, for a different and desired outcome. That comes from hearing what he says about it. That comes from hearing what he has to say about it. Amen. It says right here in the book of Psalms 85, verse 8, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. So let's go ahead and translate this properly now, based upon what we've learned from Psalms 23, verse 1, the Passion Translation, that the Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. And I always, because of that, I always have more than enough. I will hear what God, my almighty source, my one and only, the Lord, my best friend, will speak. For he shall speak peace unto his people and to his saints. To his saints. What's a working definition of saint? Someone who's performed 3 miracles? Man, go ahead and let that sacred cow just die. That's stupid. It's the people who have chosen him. It's the people he's chosen who have then chosen him. Hey, listen, there's a whole bunch of people in the Bible who had been chosen by him that rejected him. These are his precious ones. These are ones who've decided that they believe him. These are ones who decided that his integrity was enough. And if he said yes, it meant yes. If he said it was up, it was up. They just decided they believed him and shook hands with him on whatever he said. You say I'm well, I'm well. Hands shook. You say we're friends. I choose you too. That's a saint. His people. His saints. Man, go ahead and decide that for yourself, sir. I hear what you say to me. I'm your sheep. I'm your very own child. And I am your best friend. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, you have made me. Actually, from verse 17 all the way to 21, you've made me your best friend. I hear your voice. So you can just sit back and listen down in your inner self and trust him. He'll be a friend to you and speak to you and help you. These things combined, being reassured about where you stand with him, knowing that he's extremely, dare I say, even aggressively compassionate. He is fiercely loyal and compassionate to what you're dealing with and going through. Bringing the problem to him, knowing that there's no better person to bring it to than him. And then just straight up asking him for help. Turning the fight over to him. Turning the battle over to him. Amen, man. I'm just thinking about that for a second myself. That's why I paused. I was like, man, who better to handle the problem than the person most qualified to handle it? And then listening to what he says about it. It's going to do for us exactly what it did for Paul. It's going to give us an image of a different outcome that then God is the one who makes it happen. And it causes us to get excited about him and get excited about our lives and get excited about our living life again. Because we know we have his help and his love at work in our life. So hear that before we end this, for this session with each other right now. God has made you his very best friend. We're learning how to rely on him and treat him like a best friend. And really, we're taking time to biblically show you you're not treating him in some secret, you know, elaborate ritual way. You're just treating him like your favorite person. You're treating him like a best friend. You're just being honest with him and asking. And then treating him like he has integrity and letting him handle things and waiting and listening for him. That's all we're doing. We're treating him like a best friend. And in turn, he's given us things to be excited about. He's giving us things to... Listen, when you go from seeing only a negative outcome, like Abraham, he only saw himself dying without a child. And God said, Abraham, this is not how you're going to end. He said, one that will come forth out of your own bowels will be your heir. And Abraham's like, okay. But he needed something to look at. He needed something to see. And God took him outside of the tent. And he said, look up now, Abraham, and count the stars, meaning number them, name them. And Abraham couldn't. There was too many. And he said to Abraham, he said, your seed, your offspring will be exactly the same way. Well, when he said it, it went without saying that God was putting himself on the hook. He was personally obligating himself to say, I am taking full responsibility to see to it that this happens for you. And that gave Abraham, he could see a different outcome. And he could see an outcome that he was confident about. And it made him happy. And he got excited about it. It's no different for anything and everything you're encountering and dealing with right now. Amen. God is your best friend. And he has things he wants to say to you. But the good thing is, you can hear it because you're his best friend. Man, I tell you what, I'm so happy and excited to talk about this. Hey, listen, Duke loves you. And even more than Duke loves you, everybody here at MTS, our whole team, we love you. And number one, and most of all, God, your very best friend, loves you. Your boss and elder brother and your best friend, Jesus, loves you. You're not alone. You're not the only person dealing with what you're dealing with right now. Hey, listen, if you got to rewind and go through this and hit parts and rewind it again and again and look up the waypoints and scriptures that we talked about, do it. That's what it's recorded for. But you're not alone. And God loves you. Hey, listen, if you want to be part of the team or as far as supporting this mission goes, we have a vision to continue to expand organically and cause what we're saying to get into, come across the paths of all the people who need to hear this. You can do that. You can go online if you want to pay it forward on the MisfitToySociety.com website, MisfitToySociety.com. Look up the icon or the link that says pay it forward, and you can go on there and do whatever you and the Lord decide that you should do. We love you, and I am so thankful for you. You, the one listening right now, I'm thankful for you. Thanks for being here. We love you. See you soon.